winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So you probably heard this one, but a man decided his wife was getting hard of hearing. So he called her doctor to make an appointment to have her hearing checked. The doctor said he could see her in 2 weeks, but meanwhile, there was a very simple and formal test the husband could do to give the doctor some idea of the dimensions of her problem. "Now here's what you do," he said. "Stand about 40 feet away from her, speak in a normal conversational tone, and see if she hears you. If not, go to 30 feet, then 20, and so on until you get a response." So that evening, his wife is in the kitchen getting ready to cook dinner, and he's in the living room, and he says to himself, "You know, I'm about 40 feet away. Let's see what happens. Hey, honey, what's for supper?" No response. So he moves to the other end of the room about 30 feet away. "Honey, what's for supper?" No response. He moves into the dining room about 20 feet away. "Honey, what's for supper?" No response. So he goes to the kitchen door, only about 10 feet away. "Honey, what's for supper?" No response. So he walks right up behind her. "Honey, what's for dinner?" She turns around and says, "For the fifth time, chicken." Now, for those of you who aren't married yet, you probably can't appreciate that, but that's more true than what we like to think. But isn't that the way sometimes it is in our lives? We're either deaf to what's really going on, we fail to perceive reality, or, very conveniently, we think it's the other person's problem when it's really our own. Sometimes we have selective hearing. We hear only what we want to hear, whether it's a parent or a teacher or whomever it might be. Or we act as if we're listening, but our attention is really elsewhere. You've probably had that feeling you're engaged in conversation with someone, that they're sort of giving you their attention with their eyes, but you realize they're not listening, they're not hearing you at all. It can be infuriating and be frustrating. So all I know is that I do that sometimes, and so I'm just asking for blanket forgiveness when that happens. But today's passage is all about listening and hearing and following the voice of Jesus. So the scene, a small group comes close to Jesus, kind of like the husband in the story. They're walking with him, right next to him actually, and asking him to tell them plainly if he's the Messiah. "Don't keep us in suspense," they say. And Jesus says, "What do you mean? What more do I need to say? In fact, I don't have to say anything because my works speak for themselves." Sometimes I wonder if we're hard of hearing and hard of seeing when it comes to Jesus. Are we listening to his voice and hearing what he says and then doing what he tells us to do? Or do we try to keep our emotional, intellectual, and spiritual distance? You and I know in this age of 24/7 news, we hear a lot of voices. Some of them are helpful, some of them are anything but helpful. And sometimes it's overwhelming. So how do we discern what voice to listen to, which voice to follow? There are a lot of voices out there telling you who you are, what you want, and who you should be. But what voice or whose voice are we following? Who are we listening to? There are voices telling us to do this. Don't do that. You're too fat. You're too thin. You'll never amount to much. You're the wrong color. You're the wrong ethnic background. You're a sinner. You don't measure up. You'll never amount to anything. You're crazy. You're wrong. There are voices telling us to believe this, buy that, drive that, wear this, go there, do your homework, which is always a good idea. But it's too much, and sometimes we just simply tune it out, and turn it off. So the question of faith remains, whose voice are we listening to, and what voice do we trust? What voice do we hear? And the faith task is to hone in, to lean toward the source, that authentic divine voice, and this listen intently, and then to act on what you are hearing. An infant knows its mother's voice. In a room where there is lots of stimulation with color and motion and noise, this is the overwhelming reality. The baby's head will always turn to the source of the mother's voice, recognizing that voice even before that child has language to call out mom, even before we know, we perceive. Doctors tell us that the last sense to leave a dying person is hearing. And so that is why when you're at the bed of someone who is ready to leave this life, you tell them you love them. You tell them it's okay to let go. You cry and you pray. It makes me think that perhaps there are many who follow Jesus' voice, and perhaps they don't even know it's Jesus. And there are some who would say, does that even matter? After all, there's this little great little detail in today's passage when Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. It's not all about us knowing Jesus. It's about Jesus knowing us. The sheep don't have to intellectually know or theologically get Jesus to follow him. So that opens up a lot. One of the all-time basic questions that many have is, what about all those good people who are grounded, compassionate, generous, hospitable? Just people, but maybe they're not Christian. Well, I think these words of Jesus help. You don't have to know me to follow me. It is more auditory and instinctive than intellectual, maybe, deeper than our ability to describe, much deeper than that. And so I ask, what voices are we listening to, and what are we hearing? I believe that if we are intently listening to the voice of love and power, if we are honing in on the deepest, most authentic voice we know and we're following it, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these days the realization comes that, oh, that was Jesus all along. And it may happen in this life or the next. There is so much emphasis in so many churches on making sure that you use the right words and use the right name, almost like magic words. But Jesus here seems to be saying something else. I think these words of Jesus can be helpful to those of us here in the church. People who instinctively do the right thing and live a life that's worth living. They live gentle and powerful lives of service and joy and hope and generosity and learning. They aren't trying to earn their way into heaven. They're just living life as they know how to live it. Those who follow Jesus' voice may not necessarily know who Jesus is, but they follow the voice that they know. These words help when I stumble and bumble and I get all worked up about something. Because when I remember to listen with the ears of my heart, I begin to hone in again. Listening with the ears of the heart, St. Benedict says. A mixed body metaphor, but it works. And I think we all know deep down what that means. That which we take in through the ear needs to be translated by our hearts. Our hearts have a way of asking, where are you grounded? How do you look at the world? What gives you ultimate meaning? It's a little bit like the chicken and the egg. Does your hearing shape your reality, or your reality shape your hearing? I don't know, but I do know this. A heart grounded in fear is going to shape our hearing and our living. A heart grounded in suspicion is going to make us skeptical of everything we hear and will shape our outlook. So what does Jesus say? No matter our politics, we are church. We are the community not shaped by unanimous opinion, but on an unswerving desire to listen and follow. And so listening for the voice of Jesus becomes the most important thing. For Christians, no other voice is more important. What we hear every Sunday in the reading of the Word, in the raising of our prayers and the singing of the hymns, and in the holy silences that are so rich. Do we hear the voice of Jesus? Do we hear that we are loved? So what voice do you hear? Whose voice are you following? Do you hear the voice of hospitality? Do you hear that you're welcome here? You don't have to have your theological stuff together. I don't think it really matters if you believe sometimes half of the Christian doctrine. You'll get that in time, if that is where you need to go. Even if you don't recognize the source, are you listening and following? Are you someone who extends hospitality to others? Do you hear the voice of generosity? We have been given the wonderful gift of life. The very stuff of created order has been shared with us. We are alive, we are skilled, we are gifted, just because we exist. Are we listening and following and being generous, not only with our money, but with our time, our talent, with our joy, our laughter, our truth, and grace? So what voice do you hear? Whose voice are you following? Do you hear the voice of justice and compassion? That it is good to treat others as you wish to be treated? Are you listening to make sure that children are safe and fed? That families have decent homes and good schools for their children? That the sick and the ill are cared for? And that those on the margins are included, respected, treated with dignity? That justice doesn't always mean punishment, but it primarily includes restoration. So what voice do we hear and what voice are we following? Do we hear the sounds of creation and hope? If our heart moves toward the voice of suspicion and fear, that will be the primary shaper of our world and also of our relationships. But if we hear the voice of Jesus, we know that hope is better than fear. Hope is better than fear, and love is better than hate. It seems to me that this parish is filled with those who listen intently to the voice of Jesus and follow his example of hospitality, inclusion, compassion, caring for one another, living lives that model grace, hope, and joy. So in spite of the news out there, in spite of the numerous voices that tell us everything is going to hell in a handbasket, we keep listening. We keep following Jesus. We stay in relationship with each other. The scriptures are filled to overflowing with reminders of not to be afraid, because nothing, absolutely nothing, will be able to snatch us away from the one who will never abandon us, neither in this life or in the life to come. So we have a choice to make. Whose voice will we listen to? And whose voice will we follow? John tells us that the setting for today's gospel reading was the festival of dedication. So may today be a day of dedication for us. Perhaps a day of rededication for us to listen, really listen, not just to the voice of Jesus, but to the voices of our brothers and sisters. So we may love and serve both our fellow human beings and our Lord with a love and a joy that will never be shaken or silenced. Amen.